This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line. This morning, we're beginning a new program. And on the first Tuesday of each month, Judge Donna Scott Davenport will be joining us from the Rutherford County Juvenile Justice Center. And she brings with her this morning Magistrate Keith Siskin. And we'll say good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Thank you.
And this is a great opportunity for people to learn more about the Juvenile Justice Center. And also the variety of cases that are being heard. I do want to mention at the beginning that juvenile court cases are confidential, and we're not going to be able to discuss anything in regarding to specific cases that are being studied right now, present or past litigation, or any specific issue actually that may be brought into the court in the future. So if you're fishing out there for some information, you won't find any that is of that type, at least this morning, right here. So, don't call with those types of questions. We're looking for general questions, and I think it is really interesting the variety of cases that you hear in the Juvenile Justice Center. I didn't realize you had such a variety till I started looking over a list of different topics that you do cover.
Yes, sir. We're quite busy in juvenile court, and that was one of the reasons we were excited about to bring this program to the community, so that we can maybe better educate them as to exactly what type of cases and the jurisdiction that the juvenile court does have, because we're a statute-driven court, unlike any other court, and we do have just certain cases that most of the cases that we have exclusive jurisdiction over.
It is so much more than some juvenile getting into trouble. That's part of what you do, but you hear child neglect cases, you hear cases dealing with children born out of wedlock, you hear cases dealing with the termination of parents' rights. I thought that was another court, but that is in your court. You hear cases, and this was really pretty interesting, all Rutherford County traffic offenses, not including the ones that were given by the city, are heard in your court. Does that really mean all of them?
Every single one of them except citations issued by the city of Murfreesboro.
And that's all ages?
Well, no.
Or just juveniles?
Just juveniles. Okay. Just the juvenile citations, because we have given Judge Sellers jurisdiction to hear those citations given in the city of Murfreesboro city limits.
So your docket is full.
We have two courts going every day, and now we're approaching 3 days, three courts.
One way to look at it, Bart, is that we can handle just about any issue touching children unless it's a divorce case or an adoption case.
Tell you what, let's go to the phones. We already have some folks with questions this morning. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Yes, that me?
That's you. Good morning.
Okay. I was going to ask, when a child, has cases, mm-hmm. and then when he or she turns 18, can you have their juvenile record expunged?
Yes and no. If they come in and have one offense, most children are going to be allowed the opportunity to have that one case expunged at that time. If they have not had their record expunged, there is a statute that allows them to come back after they reach the age of 21, if they have not picked up any adult charges, and it's been 1 year removed from any adult charges, 1 year removed, they can apply for the court to expunge their record. And then the statute is very clear on what type of cases we can expunge. But most children all get one expungement to begin with.
Even if they've been in trouble more than one time?
No, the first offense
The first offense,
first delinquent act that they get, we pretty much allow every single child to not enter a plea. They go on a pretrial diversion, and then they come back in 6 months and have that record expunged if they've cooperated with the court order.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling. Our number, by the way, is 893-1450. And let's sort of go through what happens when a juvenile is brought in. I guess the police are the ones who would bring the juvenile into your facility. They come in, I guess, at all times of the day or night.
We're open 24/7, and they do. They bring them in through the booking department of our detention center.
So it's just like a jail.
Absolutely. It is a jail, and we have a sally port, which is secure for our officers to bring their patrol cars in, transport the child inside into booking, and then they're booked. If children are charged with misdemeanors and it is their first offense, most of those, with the exception of some extraordinary circumstance, those children will be released to their parents and given a court date. If they are charged with a felony charge or have prior record, those children will be held, and then they will be entitled to a detention hearing. They are not entitled to bond.
So that is where it's different, I guess, from the adult courts. There's no bond.
There's no bond. No, they're entitled to a detention hearing, and we have to have those statutorily within a certain amount of time.
How long do you keep the, what should we call these, inmates?
Well, they're detainees.
Detainees.
They are.
I mean, they have broken the law.
Absolutely.
Some of them pretty big, too.
Yes, sir.
You have everything from simple crimes, if there is a simple crime, to murders.
We've had attempted murders. We've had children charged with murders. We've had kidnappings and armed robberies and burglaries and especially aggravated robberies and burglaries. And we've had our whole gamut. Just about every crime that's out there we have had. I've been on the bench almost 13 years. We've had a child charged with those.
I'm sure you're not surprised anymore when some of these crimes come up. But in the beginning, were you pretty shocked at some of the things kids do?
I'm still surprised. I'm still surprised at the severity of the cases that we're getting and the younger age of our children that are committing these acts.
So it's getting worse.
I think it's the worst I've ever seen it.
What do you think the problem might be?
I think that it's still a continuing breakdown of the family. And I do think our technology of where we don't communicate at all, it's all electronics and our computers and the TV, and nobody monitoring what our children are exposed to, and they're exposed to quite a bit. And I think that trickles down into their family life.
So it goes back to parents need to be parents.
I think everything comes back to parents need to be parents.
And unfortunately, parents are getting younger every day too.
I've been there long enough, children that I had them as a child either committing an act. Now I've got their children committing an act, or I removed them for their parents abusing them, and now I remove their babies for them abusing their babies.
You know, it's a sad statement, but we talk about you're a role model, whether you want to be or not. Parents are role models. And if a parent is abusive, or is the one who's receiving abuse, or if a parent is on drugs, or if a parent is involved in criminal activities, that is the image that their child is seeing. And you're discovering that's continued.
It somewhat is a cycle. It always has been. Sometimes we break the cycle, and we've got a lot of good success stories. We have a lot of good parents that are parenting, and they're just at their wit's end. And that, again, is the purpose of the court, is to give them the tools and the avenues to help with whatever issues were happening, to stop that behavior, so when they turn 18, they will not end up at 940.
So when people come into your facility there, and when it's the parents, and they're at wit's end, they don't know what to do. The kids are sometimes bigger than they are and committing really frightening crimes. Do you give them tools? Do you have programs that parents can take that show them how to cope with these things?
Absolutely, Bart. Every docket that we have with our delinquent or our status offenders, we have a multitude of different agencies present that are there to go ahead and put services in the home, which are usually absolutely free to our families. If it's an anger issue, we're going to direct maybe some anger management. If they've got a substance abuse issue, we're going to try to identify by alcohol and drug assessments and then get them on the right track for treatment. Any type of issue that we have somebody there, and it is our job to give that treatment. That's what we're, the statute says we're a court of treatment and rehabilitation. So we're driven by that, that we have to do that, and we do do that. We provide that every single day for our families.
As you look across the different problems that the juveniles who come through the local facility might have, is there one problem that seems to stand out more than others? Is there one area that seems to be a motivating factor, so to speak, for other problems, whether it be drug, alcohol, just a desire to run wild and have fun? What might that be?
I think I see a lot more anger in our children, and they don't know how to express that properly, so it comes out in assaultive behavior and aggressive and violent behavior at school and at home against their parents. That's one thing that is escalated. And our children not going to school is always on a rise. But and then if they're not in school and they're not anybody watching them and they're cutting school, then they're going to get in trouble.
Now, you say anger is on the increase dramatically. What's causing that?
I do not know, unless, again, it's the violence that they're exposed to. I would think that anything you're exposed to, you know, garbage in gives garbage out, is my philosophy. And if we're seeing all this garbage and hearing all this garbage, then it's going to produce some garbage coming out, and I think that's part of it. Now, maybe Magistrate Siskin, he sees some of the detention children, too. He may want to add to that.
I think some of it is a lack of attention from the parents. You know, I don't know if this causes anger. I imagine it would have to. You know, I'm not a child psychologist, but most cases that we see, or at least that I see, when a child is acting out, in some cases, the first time they come in, they're calling out for attention in some ways.
It was interesting. You had an open house about a week ago. I was hearing parents... We went through that wonderful facility, and thank you for opening it to the public. But I was hearing parents who were there with younger children. They were using that as an opportunity to show the child what happens when you don't do the right thing, when you're not a good citizen, when you are, breaking laws, things of that sort. Do you have parents sometimes come to you before the child is arrested saying, I need some help. I don't know what to do, but we're going in the wrong direction and I don't want my child to end up here?
They may not come directly to me because I wouldn't be able to speak to them, but we do have direction that our law enforcement officers help us with, and we have our youth service officers. And then we provide an informal diversion-type program where every Wednesday morning, 9 o'clock, if you're having unruly behavior with your children, defiant behavior with your children, all you've got to do is show up at our doorstep at 9 o'clock on Wednesday morning, and someone with that division will speak to you and your child and, again, identify issues, give you services, and for up to 90 days we'll try to work with you informally without having to go through the court process to see if we can get attention or try to help and identify what's going on.
The court process cannot kick in, I guess, until
a petition is filed.
There has to be a petition. You don't have to commit a crime then.
Well, the petition, we don't call them warrants in juvenile court. They're petitions. And that's either a petition for you committing a delinquent act, which is a crime, or a status offense, which is something only a child can commit, like being unruly. Unruly is defined by doing an act that harms the child. And running away from home, not going to school, tobacco, possession of tobacco, those type issues also address.
You mentioned the lack of going to school is an increasing problem, and when you mentioned that, all sorts of things came to mind. One of those being no parent at home to even be aware that the child is not at school. And then the second thing is everybody has a need to belong to a group. They have this inner desire to belong to some group. And I guess that is where gangs come in. And I've had a lot of people say, well, we don't have gangs. I'm wondering if, well, you're there every day. Do we have gangs?
Well, we do hear some testimony that they are affiliated with the gang, but what's really affiliated with a gang is, are they wearing the colors? Are they talking the talk, but they're not doing the acts? Part of them are possibly do belong to some gangs. I still don't think that we have a severe gang problem in our town. We have some affiliations, and we have some children that do run with them. But I think that our law enforcement, all the county, all cities have it well under control. I think our SROs have it well under control in our schools and identifying on top of that. But they are a family. They see them as a family. And a lot of them do gravitate to that so that they are, as Magistrate Siskin said, get attention and have worth and are loved unconditionally by that gang, where they feel like they may not be by their family.
Magistrate Siskin, tell us a little more about that, since you see that firsthand on a regular basis. And also, tell us, is it ever too late for a parent to step back into the picture and give them the family that they need?
It's never too late for parents to try, but sometimes in our saddest cases, we see that the parents do wait too long. And by the time it comes to us, and people are saying, okay, you fix it, you know, juvenile court, you fix this problem. Sometimes I do have a feeling that the parents have waited too late, and that when they throw the problem our way, it's a feeling of helplessness sometimes. We do the best we can, don't get me wrong, but sometimes I wish if the parents had stepped in earlier, it would have made our job easier, that's for sure.
We've had educators on the program before, and they've said that from birth to age 3 to 4 or 5, that general time frame, that is the time period that kids are created. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think, I haven't read the studies, but I think the general proposition of the earlier the better and the younger the better, for parents to step up to the plate. You know, if you're waiting until your kids are 16, 17 years old to try and be a parent, by that time, like you say, these young people, they're on the verge of adulthood. And at that point, that's where most of the time I'm thinking, man, it feels like it's almost too late here. I wish they'd have stepped in sooner.
For parents, and you hear parents say, well, I want to be their friend. I wish you could have seen his face. That said it all right there. You hear that then.
Right. These children, they've got their friends, but what they need is, like you say, they need role models, they need guidance, they need people to teach them right from wrong. And, we're seeing, unfortunately, less and less of that coming from our parents.
Let's go back to the phones. Our number is 893-1450. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you this morning?
Just fine. How y'all doing?
Doing fine.
You got a well-mounted program this morning. I like the conversation, what's coming on. But on the parents, I see you directing basically toward the parents. What do you think about the law that they have out where the parents, they can't discipline their children, you know, for spanking them and stuff like that? I think that has a lot to do with it for how the child coming up. I mean, if you can't discipline your kid when he's small, I mean, just spanking them. We got spanked when we were growing up. I mean, there's a certain way you spank kids. If they're not bleeding, the law wasn't like that when we were coming up, because our parents probably been in jail. And, for disciplining us, we had whips and everything on us. Sometimes we had little blood spots come out from the belt or the switches and stuff. But, we cried and did everything, but it didn't kill us. And we came up, it just seemed like with more respect, because the parents, they gave us respect, and they gave us whoopings too, you know what I'm saying? And I remember them today. And I don't think that law right there, I think they sort of, they ought to sort of calm down on that a little bit, because that's got a whole, to me, that's got a whole lot to do with the way the kids are coming up now. They know they can't get spanked and stuff like that. And the teachers can't just remain in school, you know, unless they'll call 911 or something like that. And I think that's got a lot to do with the kids. And just have a good day and keep up the good work.
Judge Davenport, what about that? Do you see cases where the children are saying, my parents discipline me too much, or claim that?
Well, we have a mixed bag. We have parents that say, well, I can't spank them. And there is appropriate physical discipline. There is not, I don't know, a law in the book that says you cannot discipline your child. You cannot harm your child whatsoever. Absolutely not. You cannot harm your child if we're talking a hand on them. There's other ways to discipline your children other than just corporal punishment. If you wait, as Magistrate Siskin says, I have seen, if you wait till they're either 9 or 10 to start telling them no, that doesn't settle well with them, and you have a difficult problem. We also have a lot of children that come in that assault their parents, and they would rather stay in detention than go home. Now, that's a red flag for us. And, of course, we're mandated to do a CPS referral to see if there is any allegations going on of abuse from the parent to the child. But we have a lot of our children that are also assaulted to their parent. But, again, discipline doesn't have to be corporal punishment, but we need to do other things. As simply as shut off their cell phone, take away the car keys, turn off the computer, take the mouse pad, take the keyboard, lock up this, lock up that. There are other ways to discipline them and get some of these negative influences out of their lives.
As you said those things, I'm thinking that might be more hurtful to the child and more memorable than a spanking.
Well, usually if you take something they love the most and have them live without that for a while, then that might be a correct discipline tool for them.
Our phone number is 893-1450. We have a new program this morning, a new topic that we're going to be focusing on the first Tuesday of each month. The Rutherford County Juvenile Services Department here in town, Judge Donna Scott Davenport, and she has brought with her today Magistrate Keith Siskin. We're going to pause for just a moment to check on the traffic and weather. We'll be back. All the lines are full, so hold on, because you're coming up next.
This is FM 100.5, FM 101.9, AM 1450, and TV 11. Talk Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Was your car damaged by the recent hailstorm we had in Rutherford County? Windows busted out, dents all over your car? Ford of Murfreesboro can properly repair your car to make it look like new again. Ford of Murfreesboro works with your insurance company so you don't have that hassle. Simply drop off your car, get it repaired, and then pick it up. It's that easy at Ford of Murfreesboro. Ford of Murfreesboro, at the intersection of Broad and Northfield. Hail damage repairs being done now at Ford of Murfreesboro.
Bell Jewelers, where quality, value, and honesty ring true.
We buy our diamonds direct from the cutters of Belgium, the diamond capital of the world. Diamonds are a symbol of your devotion, of your life together, of how far you've come.
Bell Jewelers, a cut above.
This is Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers, across the street from Toots in Murfreesboro. Visit us online at belljeweler.com.
Roberts Discount Auto Repair. Honest, personal, and professional service for your car. Alignments, brakes, air conditioner, and emissions repair. Roberts Discount Auto Repair at 896-1407 on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro.
As Happy to report, still moving pretty good out there along Interstate 24. We do have a wreck right off the interstate at the intersection of Hickory Hollow Lane and Hickory Hollow Parkway that might cause us to slow down a little bit on the interstate, but at the moment, we're still looking good. Starting to see a little slower traffic along Murfreesboro Highway, right around Stewart Drive, and along your secondary starting at 8 o'clock. Don't forget, we will have lane closures along South Church Street between Indian Park Drive and Broad Street as crews continue to repave the road. Get a $39 introductory massage at Massage Envy today. Gift cards are available for any occasion. That's Massage Envy of Cool Springs, Bellevue, Brentwood, and Green Hills. With traffic, I'm John Boyce for WGNS.
Thank you, John. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
We'll have plenty of sunshine for today. High temperatures in the upper 60s, and we'll have a calm wind becoming south-southeast around 5 miles per hour. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Falhuber. Currently 36.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We still offer checking that comes with a free check card. There's no balance requirement, and you can write all the checks you need to. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
When the weather's at its worst, we're at our best. Talk Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro, FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
Welcome back. We're focusing on the Rutherford County Juvenile Services Program this morning. Wonderful program here in the community. Our phone number is 893-1450. If there's a particular part of the program that you want to hear again, and whether it's this program or some of the other local shows on WGNS, you can do that. We preserve them under podcast form. Go to our website, WGNSradio.com. And across the blue bar across the top, it says a variety of things, one of those being podcast. You just open that one up and look at the action line for the date and topic. And, of course, this show, right after it's over, will be there in podcast form for you to listen to from now on out. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Hi, Bart. I'm fine.
Good. Thanks for calling.
I have a question.
Okay.
I have a 10-year-old nephew.
Mm-hmm.
He is totally out of control. We can't spank him. He will call the police. He's done that before. My sister's taken stuff away from him. He and Ingo took a treat last night because it was a punishment to him. I mean, we can't do anything with him. We can't. We say, like, you can't do anything because you're not my mom. Like, well, you're in my house. But nobody can do anything with him. Does the juvenile people have like a program where you take him to juvenile and get the heck scared out of him? Because he's abusive, he's everything.
Well, number one, our detention facility and our court is not there to scare children. It's there to give treatment and try to stop the behavior and rehabilitate what they're doing. And I probably need to correct, I hope everybody's still listening, about taking your children at 9 o'clock. Here's what's unfortunate about most of our programs. Our programs are that we have for our children are for children 12 and older. And this is a good example of where we need programs for younger children. We're holding children as young as 7 and 8 in our detention center, and we do not like to do that. But if they commit a felony, then they have to be fingerprinted, they have to be photographed, and they have to be held. Other mental health providers, have we tried counseling? Because that's what we would try to do, is try to direct you to some counseling. You been to counseling?
He's been to guidance center.
Okay, and have we seen anything where we need possibly some med management? Is that an option?
He's on them.
And are we going on a regular basis to have those at our provider?
Yep.
And
yep.
Are you telling those?
Nothing works. His doctor said there's no medicine out there that's going to help him because his brain is like totally out of whack.
Well, if the professional medical and psychologist people can't provide any service for him, then I'm sorry to say that there's probably not any service that we could provide, that you're already steps ahead of what we can provide for you, because most of the families that come in had not had the opportunity to try any services. So I'm afraid that I'm not, unless Master Franciscan knows of an idea, especially a child that young, it's unfortunate that we don't have the programs to service children that at that young age. And if it sounds like you're already doing everything that would be way beyond what we could offer you, and I apologize for that.
Okay, thank you.
That has to be a sad feeling.
And we have that a lot of times, and we do. And it is very difficult. And we do have a lot of children that they're at the doctors, and they're doing everything, and they're still having the bad behavior. Master, did you want to add something to that?
No, I think we've just got, like you say, there's an unfortunate gap in our ability to help children of certain young ages with these type of problems.
Is the end result in that, because there's no professional help, you said, is the end result just wait till they get older and lock them up?
Well, I hope not. But I know that bringing them in, if they've got that many mental health issues, if we charge them with something, then we're going to have a competency issue as to being able to proceed on the case. And we would be glad to put services in the home, but it sounds like they've already got way more services than we could even start with. And it seems like they are trying to do everything that they can do. And we do have those situations where we're even at our wits' end on what we can do to provide services.
Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Good morning. You mentioned earlier that the juvenile court also deals with cases of abused children. And I wanted to ask what family members or other people in the community can do if they feel like a child's being abused. Do they need to call the police, or what options are available?
Well, juvenile court has exclusive jurisdiction on all abuse cases. Any abuse cases that you hear in the county come straight to juvenile court if they remove the child. You are obligated to call the Department of Children's Services. They have a toll-free number. And I brought some materials this morning, and I apologize. That is one number I did not bring. There is an 800 number where you need to make a referral to the Department of Children's Services, and they will screen that out. Now, if you wish to call the department, police departments, then I think they have to go through the same thing, but they wouldn't have the facts of the case where you would. And then you can make that a confidential referral. Your name is never released, but if you leave your name and address, they will send you a letter to let you know what they did with their investigation. If you do not do that, then you probably will never know what the outcome would be. But that is the avenue that you take, is you call the Department of Children's Services, and it's called a referral for abuse. Does that help?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks. By the way, I did find on the internet an 800 number for the juvenile services, and I don't know if this is the right number.
Department of Children's Services.
A juvenile is any individual who is under the chronological age of 18 years old, and the youth services officer or probation, it goes into that. This is, and then it gives an 800 number.
I don't believe that's for abuse.
That's probably
abuse.
Not the right one. Okay.
I don't believe so.
893-1450 is our number. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I agree with the judge there. You teach your child early on. I had three children. They're all grown up now. Two of them married. My daughter was the oldest, and when she did something early on in her life, I kind of tapped her hand a little bit. But after that, all that I had to say is raise my voice. And she would cease and knew that she wasn't supposed to do that. Now, my two other boys, I had to use a belt a few times, but only used it one time. We explained, you know, that is before the warnings. I mean, after the warnings that, you know, not to do that and that behavior. And then I said, you know, I don't like doing this, but I will spank you with the belt. So I took one in one room, in his room, and gave him one belt, also the other one. My youngest boy, one time, also while he was young, we went in the store, he picked up something I didn't know, and we got out in the car, and I said, where'd you get that? And he was probably about 4 years old. And of course, I knew he got out of the store, so I went back in there, asked for the manager, and we sit down and talk to him, he said, and we explained, you cannot take things out of the store. And he learned a lesson. So basically what I'm saying is, like, I agree with y'all that you teach these young ones very young, and parents that has a sole responsibility of teaching early on in life, and each child is different. Each child's different. You can do certain things for some child, and I appreciate you letting me comment.
Thank you for calling. And, you know, this is very informative. There are parents who don't know what to do. There's no book, really, that comes when you get the child that says, here's what you do, page one, day one, stuff like that. And it's an opportunity for parents who are having difficulties to hear from other parents who may be having the same situation. This is sort of a support group on the radio and guided by people who know what they're doing, like Judge Davenport and Magistrate Siskin.
And that's what we're hoping this program brings every month with a different topic is concerns that the community has so we can educate them. And I would like to mention, we do have our own webpage that has some questions that are answered for the public. And if you'll just go to Rutherford County Government Juvenile Court, and there's a link there for our webpage, and you'll get introduced to the staff as well as some of the most frequently asked questions, and especially about procedure and that type thing. So that might be interesting for our listeners.
Our guest this morning, Rutherford County Juvenile Justice Center Judge Donna Scott Davenport and Magistrate Keith Siskin. Let's go back to the phones. You're on WGNS. Good morning.
Yes, is that me?
That is you.
I really think you made a good point then. A parent has to know his child, and all of them accept different types of discipline in different ways. Sometimes you might have to whoop one to get the attention that they need, and I don't mean to beat them, but when you actually look at it, and I've said this before, the worst type penalty for whatever a juvenile does is to be locked up like an animal. So parents have to know the children. And if it takes a little whooping, and God knows I don't mean to beat them, then I don't think it hurts anything. You just whoop them because you love them and don't want them to get in any more trouble or situation. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Good morning.
Hi.
Am I still on the line? Hello?
We hear you fine.
Okay. I just had to get in this. I'm so curious. You know, when children are born, when the first time they start, I reckon is the time to get a hold to them. Instead of taking them to these psychiatrists and letting them put them on this Ritalin, it ain't nothing but dope, and it's ruining children. All they need to do is get some switches like my mama used to do and plant them together and give them a good whooping. And bells don't do nothing but make them tough. But them switches, I'll make them tender.
Thank you for
sharing.
That's all I have to say. You have a nice day. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Good morning, Lord. This is Linda Gilbert. I'm in between schools, just turned on the station on the way, and really wanted to just say thank you to Judge Davenport for her tremendous partnership with us as far as truancy. Don't want to get into a discussion about corporal punishment this morning, but do want to thank her and thank her colleagues for their support of what we're trying to do with children. So thank you, Judge Davenport, for all your help.
Thank you, Dr. Gilbert. It's a pleasure to work with you and your staff, because that's what it takes in this community. We've got so many agencies that touch and concern juvenile court, and we all have to work together because we all have the same goal, and that's to give them an education, keep them safe, teach them to do right, and grow up to be an outstanding, profitable, and good citizen for Rutherford County. And thank you, Dr. Gilbert, for those kind words.
Very definitely. She is the director of the Murfreesboro City Schools and doing a phenomenal job, too. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
I just want to comment. I think some of the callers is correct what they were saying. Like, some of the kids do need a little spanking every now and then, because if you don't really do that to them, it's going to make them, like, grow up, like, talk back to you and not want to listen to things that you tell them to do. And also, my sister's son, he used to be like that, like talking back and running around and stuff. But I think the juvenile, when they do hold them into, you know, the juvenile jails and stuff, I think that does help them a lot, though, because now he graduated from high school and he got a job and everything. So I think that helped him a lot, though.
That's good to hear that.
So, yeah, I'm just agreeing with some of the callers, though, that they do need a little spanking every now and then.
Thank you for calling. In other words, staying in your retaining cell, or whatever the proper term is, that's an eye-opener.
It usually is, and I affectionately call that my house because it's attached to our building, and I usually will ask them, you want to stay, you know, want to be at my house, or you want to go home to your home and have a home and be respectful, because if you don't want to do that, then I can accommodate you at my house. And usually they're ready to go home and hopefully behave and us get some services in to help them identify why they're doing what they're doing, and that's what it's all about.
I noticed in going through the facility there, you hand out uniforms that are the black and white stripes like you see in the movies, and ones that are not being used by the adults. Is that psychological? Does that get a message across, hey, I'm locked up in jail?
Well, it may, because it is. It's a stigma. They've got on black and white stripes that go around. And it, I tell my young girls, it's not a fashion statement, and there's no makeup at my house either. And they have flip-flops, and the parents bring them socks and underwear, and we supply everything else they need.
Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Good morning, Bart.
Well, good morning.
Rick Campbell here. I just want to echo Dr. Gilbert's comments and thank Judge Davenport for the support she has given to all of us as I was a principal for a long time in the county, and appreciate her support and the leadership that she has given to the youth of our county for several years.
Butch, thank you for calling.
Thank you, Butch. Appreciate it very much. Hope you're enjoying that retirement.
I think he is. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Good morning, Bart.
Well, hey.
I've got a question to ask you. Do you keep statistics on this? What I'm wanting to know about, what percentage of these children come from one-parent family?
Interesting question.
We don't keep those type of statistics. The court keeps no statistics. The clerks keep statistics for reporting different things. But a majority of our children, unfortunately, are from one-parent homes or non-traditional parent homes. And I can just tell you that from experience. I'd say 8 out of 10. Would that be a fair statement?
Easily.
Okay. I really believe that years ago when President Johnson went, I think he meant well. He was wanting to help the lower class, the people that were more unfortunate than others, that when he built these large housing projects like in Memphis, and he brought those people out of the Delta, and if a lady or a female, let's put it that way, had a baby, then they'd give them money. And if they had another one, they'd give them money. But if you don't have a parent around, a man to work with, also with a mother, then they're going to have some problems. And I don't know how nowadays a mother who's got a 16-year-old boy weighs 250 pounds, how she's going to control that. And unless it did start at birth. And I think this has a lot to do with the problem today. I really believe that. And because you can't give someone money to have pleasures, and which will affect society over a period of time, and I think it has. Listen, I'm going to hang up, and you can comment on that, or you can just let it slide by. It's okay.
Thank you for calling. You have a great day. 893-1450 is our number. We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be back and take some more calls.
Stop by Southeastern Tire Service before you head off for your winter travels this year. We're a full-service repair facility, so we can get your car in tip-top condition before you head out. Also, from October 31st until November 28th, when you buy 4 Michelin tires, you'll get a $70 prepaid MasterCard through mail-in rebate. That's at Southeastern Tire Service on Broad Street across from Advance Auto. Southeastern Tire Service, serving Murfreesboro and Rutherford County since 1950. Visit southeasterntireservice.net.
Family Staffing Solutions.
They have made me feel like I am truly someone to them, and that means a lot.
Stay independent at home, in charge.
I've never seen anything in my life that has been more outstanding than this company.
Family Staffing Solutions. Thinking about your parents. We can be there when you're not. 143 Uptown Square. 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
WeatherEye.
We'll have plenty of sunshine for today. High temperatures in the upper 60s, and we'll have a calm wind becoming south-southeast around 5 miles per hour. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Fallhuber. Currently, 36.
Over the years, I've encouraged you to save at Bell Furniture. Many of you have called me and said, you're right. They do have first quality name brand furniture at about half the price you pay at other stores. They have the comfortable Catnapper recliner. This has both the heat and massage unit. Regular $899, but just $599 at Bell Furniture. Save with Perry Bell and Linda Ferris at Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
The latest local news, weather, swap and shop, good neighbor events, and more is at your fingertips. WGNSradio.com. WGNS Murfreesboro.
We're talking about the Rutherford County Juvenile Justice Center this morning, and we're going to be doing this on a regular basis on the first Tuesday of each month. Judge Donna Scott Davenport with us this morning, along with Magistrate Keith Siskin. Our phone number is 893-1450, only 4 minutes left in the program, so if you have any questions or comments, dial quickly, 893-1450. I'm still really sort of caught in the middle of wondering what's going to happen to that little child who is getting treatment right now, and nothing seems to work. Do children grow out of that? You see this on a regular basis, I guess. Children who have gone through this, what can you do? I can feel the pain of that person who called.
Yeah, I feel their pain too, but it seems like they're already steps ahead of what we could start with on offering them to get to the point where they've already got issues identified and trying to treat that. It's a totally sad situation, and I didn't ask her, how was school? Was he still disruptive at school? How are they handling the school situation if he's that disruptive at home? And that's always another issue for our educators, is the discipline also at school with children that have these type of legitimate issues.
And when you look at the detainees who come into the Juvenile Justice Center, when they're 14, 15, 16 years of age, 6 feet tall, weigh 200 pounds, it's an even bigger problem. This is magnified many times from the smaller child. And you can just imagine the feeling of their parents, their guardians, their family. They really don't know what to do.
And we have a lot of great parents that are doing their best. And we have a lot of great success stories where the parents have worked with us and the children have worked with us and have been successful. And they come back and they'll pop into court and show me their diploma or their college degree or whatever they're doing, which is wonderful. That's the type I want to hear. I want to hear that they're out there making it big and doing well and staying out of trouble, because that's our goal for them.
So you really bond with them, it sounds like, and become a surrogate parent?
I think that's probably a good saying. I mean, that's a good way to put it, that when they want to come in and show me their report card, because I'm going to be so proud of them, that it's a bittersweet, because why am I the one that's got to praise them? I'm going to praise them. I'm going to be very proud of them, but somebody else should be doing that as well.
We have about a minute left in the program. Either one of you, are there some thoughts you want to share with people today that you want to leave them with, this memory of what's happened today, so that maybe they can do something to get their child's life under control?
Well, in a nutshell, be a parent to your children so we don't have to.
That pretty well says it. Thank you very much for all that both of you do.
Thank you, Bob.
And your whole staff, too.
Thank you.
The Rutherford County Juvenile Justice Center, Judge Donna Scott Davenport and Magistrate Keith Siskin with us. Tomorrow at this time, Murfreesboro Police Chief Glenn Chrisman will be joining us, and we'll be talking about law and order on the adult level. Have a great rest of the day. Keep that smile on your face. I'll see you tomorrow. Get out and enjoy that sunshine. It is out there in abundance, a little bit cool, so bundle up and go out and enjoy the fall weather and the beautiful leaves. Right here on WGNS Murfreesboro, we're proud to be your good neighbor station. Good morning to you.